بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه. We were discussing about this hadith of the Holy Prophet, and our discussion had reached about the makarimul akhlaq and those highest level of moral attributes which, if found in the spirituality of a person, he should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. And we already discussed some of those attributes, and tonight the next one that we would like to discuss is the concept of haya in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Holy Quran that illa من تاب وآمن وعمل صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله حسناتهم يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات. There are certain attributes which are so much beloved in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that any wrong that a person has performed in his life, Allah is still ready to forgive it. If you have those few attributes in your soul, and one of those few attributes is haya. And like every moral attribute, our scholars of akhlaq have defined haya as malakatun nafsaniya li inqibab an-nafs عن كل قبيح. That's the Islamic definition of haya. That means haya is a malakatun nafsaniya. It's a spiritual charisma and nur found in the soul of a person which always allows him to control, to exercise his control towards everything which is considered by Allah, by the Sharia, and by the Aql, the human intellect, to be qabih and condemned. So whenever you encounter something which the Sharia and the Aql consider to be condemned and mazmoom and qabih, you control yourself and you stop it there. and you don't move forward, if that's the Nuraniyat, that Nur is found in your soul at every instance of your life, then you have Haya. We have two kinds of Haya mentioned in Ilmul Akhlaq. One is the Haya which is Mamduh, which is appreciated in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one is the Haya which is Mazmoom, that means condemned. I will inshallah mention the five categories of Haya which are condemned in our Ilmul Akhlaq, in the knowledge of Islamic morality, five different classifications of Haya which are condemned and which we need to abstain from that kind of Haya. So, but for before we reach there, we would talk about the Haya which is Mamduh and appreciated. This kind of inqibaz al-nafs and the control of the nafs of a person that blocks him towards moving in the direction of any qabih act, shar'an and aqlan. And this kind of nuraniyat in the qalb is so much beloved in the eyes of Allah, that if you have this nuraniyat in your qalb, no matter what sin you have committed in the sabiq, in the past, every sin can be forgiven, and every sin can be not just forgiven, but converted and transformed by Allah into a hasana. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. They are the ones whose bad deeds Allah transforms into good deeds. Remember the story of the person who was drinking alcohol in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and he was coming in the streets of Medina with the bottle of alcohol in his hand, and on from the that corner of the alley he was coming, and he found that Prophet is coming from the other side. He first thought to escape, to run away, you know, to find a way to escape, but there wasn't any way where he could escape. So he got really upset and embarrassed that what he's supposed to do now. So he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with, you know, khalisatan and sadiqan, with sitqin niyyah, with the truthfulness in his niyyah and intention, that, oh my Lord, if you protect my dignity this time from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and don't let me be insulted in front of him, I will quit this haram, I will never drink. And he said this commitment in his qalb, in his heart towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he hid the drink behind his back, and he started moving, of course, in the lane towards Rasulullah. He came close to Rasulullah, and Prophet said to him, "What is in your hand?" And he lied to the Holy Prophet from his intention, from his side. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, this is vinegar." And Prophet said, "Okay, show me." That means he Prophet did his hand like this. And that means, you know, pour some of it on my hand. Let me see. And he brought the bottle out from back of his, you know, from his back, and he started pouring some on the hand of the Holy. Of course, he cannot deny in front of, and Prophet is asking to do that. How can you ignore it? So he poured some on the hand of the Prophet, and it was vinegar. It was not alcohol. And of course, the Holy Prophet, he said to the Prophet that, you know, you must have heard that story, that, you know, he said to the Holy Prophet, "Yeah, I swear to that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who sent you as his messenger, that actually I lied to you. It was not vinegar, it was alcohol." But I don't know why right now it's vinegar. Prophet said, that means it's true that it was alcohol, but what was the intention that you made? You cannot hide anything from the Holy Prophet. Of course, he has the ilm al-ghaib. He understands even the thoughts of your mind. You know, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفَى الصُّدُورِ. This ayat of Holy Quran, when it talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He knows the khiyanat of the eyes, those eyes that do the khiyanat, even Allah knows that, وَمَا تُخْفَى الصُّدُورِ. And what the people hide in their minds, Allah also knows that. When I'm paraphrasing in my own words, the translation of it. So, and Prophet is the mazhar of this ism of Allah and this sifat of Allah also. So anything that we hide in our qalb, in our sudur, a Prophet knows that. Because he is the mazhar of every sifat and every ism of Allah. So Prophet read the mind of the person when he was making the intention towards Allah. Prophet read his mind. And that's why when he said, Ya Rasulullah, I swear to God that it was alcohol, it was not vinegar. And Prophet said, but what intention did you make in your mind? He said, yes, my intention was that if you protect my dignity this time in front of Rasulullah, I will really stop. I will never drink alcohol again. So we realize this. So there's a hadith from the Holy Prophet where he has said, that أربعون من كنا فيه كان وكان من قدمه إلى قدمه ذنوبا. Four of the sifat. If anybody has four sifat, وكان من قدمه إلى قدمه ذنوبا, and from head to toe, he is full of sins. From head to toe, you are full of sins. But even if you are full of sins from top to the bottom, but you have four attributes in your soul. Prophet said, بَدَّلَهَا اللَّهُ حَسَنَاتٍ. Allah will convert all the sins into good deeds. And those four attributes are الصِّدْقُ وَالْحَيَاءُ وَحُسْنُ الْخُلْقُ وَالشُّكْرُ. If you have صِدْق, truthfulness towards Allah. Every time when you speak, you tell the truth and nothing but the truth. And haya, and of course, haya towards Allah, which we are talking right now, and husnul khulq and shukr. So haya is considered to be one of those attributes in Islam which are equal in its value to the entire iman. So la deena. La imana liman la haya'a lahu. Someone who doesn't have haya has no iman. So basically, haya is so important that it equals in its value to the entire iman. La imana liman la haya'a lahu. And also another hadith of the Holy Prophet, that's in Rasul al-Kafi, where he has said that al haya'u min al iman wal imanu min al fil jannah. Haya is because of iman. This is min sababiyyat, min this sababiyyah. Min has several reasons, several purposes in Arabic language, and our scholars said this is the min of sababiyyat. That means the haya is because of the iman. And then the Prophet said, wal imanu fil jannah, and iman is in paradise. So this is a very beautiful way of presenting the fact that Prophet is not saying that a person who has haya, it is because he has iman, and a person who has iman is in paradise. Prophet didn't put the reality in these words. Instead, the Prophet is saying that al-haya'u min al-iman. That means whosoever has the nur of haya in his qalb, this is because of the fact that he has the nur of iman in his qalb. And whosoever has the nur of iman in his qalb, then we should remember that the nur of iman is in paradise. So if we have the nur of iman, it will certainly draw us towards the paradise, always. So haya is always because of the iman. So in some of the other hadith, it has actually said in the words that samaratul haya al-iffa. That means because the fruit of haya is iffat. Iffat means chastity of your character. So you will abstain from all the sins. When we talk about iffat and chastity of character, it means I will not do the sins. When I reach the sin, I will stop. I will control myself. So this is the fruit of the iman. Because of iman, a person is going to do that. And also Prophet has said in another statement that arju lil munafiqe, I have raja and umid and hope for a munafiq person as long as he has haya. Even for a munafiq person, if he has some level of haya remaining, Prophet says he still has hope about that person. So we should, and another hadith says that al-haya'u khayrun kulluhu. That means all of the haya is khair. This is, I have already promised earlier in one of my speeches that inshallah sometime I would talk about khair, because that's a very beautiful concept. I didn't have time yet to talk about the concept of khair in Islam. Inshallah sometime we will discuss. It's a very beautiful discussion that haya is also categorized as one of the khair things in Islam, and khair is something that we should always pray for each other, that Allah give us the tawfiq of khair. And one of the benefits of haya is that whosoever has haya in him, Allah will cover his uyub and his faults. So if our uyub and faults are covered, one of the reasons because of that is that since we have haya towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so Allah will reciprocally cover our uyub from the people. So as long as we keep haya, man kasahu al-haya wa tawbahu lam yaran nasu aybahu, whosoever has haya clothing him, people will not see his fault. So we find that if a time arrives that a person quits the haya and he doesn't have haya and sharm towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then basically any sin is okay. Because when you don't care, when you really don't have any care about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the closest one towards us, because this is also mentioned in one of the ahadith. Let me read that for you, because the Holy Prophet has said, istahi min Allah li qurbihi minka. Another hadith Prophet says that have haya towards Allah because of his closeness towards you. If somebody is close, we really feel haya and sharm because the person is there and he's watching us, he's close to us. So this is another way how Prophet is informing us that we have haya towards Allah because he is close to you. Actually, Allah is the closest, closer than the jugular vein. And also the Prophet has said that, actually that is from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, where he said, al-imanu shajaratun asluha al-yaqeen wa far'uha al-tuqa wa nuruha al-haya. Iman is a tree that its root is yaqeen. The root of the shajara and tree of iman is yaqeen. And wa far'uha al-tuqa, its branches are the taqwa, and wa nuruha al-haya, and the nur of that tree of iman is haya. So this is how they have explained, which is going to lead us towards, haya will lead us towards every khair. So haya is something which is deeply appreciated in Islam. And now when we come to the fact about the haya which is mazmoom and condemned in the eyes of Islam, we have the hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, where he has said that al-haya'u haya'ane, haya'u aqlin wa haya'u humqin. There are two kinds of haya. One is called the haya of aql and one is called the haya of humq, hamaqat, and foolishness. So, and fahaya al-aql huwa al-ilm, wa haya al-humq huwa al-jahl. The Prophet said the haya of aql is ilm. And so if we have the haya which is based on our intellect, then we will go for the knowledge. And if we have haya which is based on himaqat and foolishness, it will keep us in the darkness of, in the zulmat of jahl. So this is basically the first is the first form of the condemned haya is the haya which a person has towards learning the knowledge of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. This is one of the condemned kinds of haya and sharm found in some people, that they feel shy and hesitant in learning the knowledge. And some people even say, you know, that if you don't learn, that's okay. You are fine as long as you don't learn. It's not fine in Islam as long as you don't learn or as long as you don't know, because you know, on the day of judgment, person will be asked, and an alim, a knowledgeable person who has learned and he doesn't practice. The hadith says, "Yuqalu lil alime halla amilta." On the day of judgment, it will be said to the knowledgeable person, "Why didn't you practice your knowledge?" Wa yuqalu lil jahil, and for the jahil person, it will be said, "Halla alimta? Why didn't you learn?" So nobody would be saved. So it's a very wrong concept if some people believe that as long as you don't know, you're fine. No, nobody's fine. You know, the punishment is still there for not learning it. So the first form of condemned haya is the haya up towards learning the knowledge of Quran and Ahl Bayt, because the hadith says, that is from Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam, where he said, "La yastahyi ahadun idha lam ya'lam ash-shay'a an yata'allamahu." There should be no haya for a person if he doesn't know something to haya towards learning it. So if you don't know it, go for learning it. Learn it. The second form of condemned haya is towards expressing your lack of information. Some people don't know, but they don't want to express that they don't know. They want to hide and continue to pose themselves that they know it. This is the second form of condemned haya and sharm in Islam, because the hadith says that لا يستحيين أحد منكم إذا سئل عما لا يعلم أن يقول لا أعلم. No one among you should have haya and sharm if you don't know something. No one should have haya in saying, "I don't know." There shouldn't be any haya in expressing that. Actually, La adri nisful ilm. The hadith of Amir Mumin al-Islam says that if you say that I don't know, you have half of the knowledge. At least you remember, you know. Of course we understand that it's a person who can admit that he doesn't know, he realizes that his naqs, he realizes his fault, he realizes his deficiency. The first step towards takamul is that i'tiraf of naqs. Isn't that right? If you don't accept your naqs and deficiency, how would you go for improving it? So the first step of removing your naqs is to admit your naqs. So la adri nisful ilm, what Imam Ali alayhi salam has said. You know, one of our great maraje, my teacher was telling me that one of our great maraje, somebody, he was delivering his dars al kharij, and one of his students asked him a question in the middle. He didn't know the answer. So he said it very loudly, "I don't know." And this is one of those places where Shaitan tries to deceive you. You don't say that you don't know because you feel embarrassed in front of the people. So here comes the riya. Now, because of keeping a false dignity in front of the people, I don't express what I should say. This is also part of the deception of Shaitan. This is part of the tazkiyatun nafs. Then how can we control ourselves? So he said it very loud that, "Well, I don't know." Well, we have our maraje, our mujtahideen who are delivering dars al kharij. If a teacher could not prepare for his tomorrow's lesson, They come on the next day and say to the students, well, I could not study, so I could not teach you. You know, but because they don't feel shy, they don't have haya in saying, because you have to prepare your lesson. If you did not prepare or you could not prepare, why to say something which is unprepared, or maybe you end up in istimalan, end up in saying something which you are not supposed to say. So they don't feel hesitant in saying that. Another very common thing is they always write down on the papers. Some of the scholars, some of my teachers, I remember Ayatullah Logma, Sheikh Jawad Tabrizi, rahmatullah alayh, when we used to learn, you know, so in his Dars-e Kharij, he used to bring a book or several books in his hand. He used to write, instead of writing on the paper, he was holding the book itself. You know, or just open from the book and just reading from the book. There's nothing to feel shy. I mean, you are reading something which is authentic. Instead of I forcibly memorize something so that I can pose myself in front of the people, well, I'm such a big scholar that I have memorized all that statement. And then I end up reading something false or something incorrect in front of the people. Just to pose myself that I am an alim and I have memorized so much. These are some very, very common satanic ways of deceiving the people. So we have seen our maraje, our mujtahideen, holding their books in their hands, writing on the pieces of paper, so that what they say is authentic with the references. So that is the second kind of haya, which is condemned. If somebody is shy and hesitant in expressing that he doesn't know, then he must realize he is the victim of shaitan. لا يستحيين أحد منكم, none of you should feel haya if he's asked about something he doesn't know. Imam Ali said to say that I don't know. There should be no haya about that. The third condemned haya is about jood and sakhawat, sakha. If you have less to offer, some people feel shy. They have sharm and haya. Well, I cannot pay $100. So, well, $5 is really less. It doesn't look good in front of that person or in front of the community that I'm only paying $5. This is another way of shaitan's waswasa. And this is also, even if you pay $100 now with this intention, that $100 will also be riya. Because now you would be paying $100 so that the people, you are comfortable in front of the people. So we are not here to pay a single penny, so because we are comfortable in front of the people, or what the people say it is more and less, because the ta'rif of ikhlas is that, la yajid, I don't remember the exact word of the hadith, but it says that the mazmoon of riwayat is like this, that no one can reach the iman la yuhib an yuhmada ala shay'in min amalillah, unless and until he doesn't like to be praised on anything that he did for Allah. You should not like, even in your qalb, even in your heart, you should not like to be praised. There are some people who don't say it with their tongue that, well, praise me, say thank you to me. Some people don't say that. But in deep down in their qalb, they have, well, I should be praised. Even if I don't say it, but I have in my qalb that I should be praised. This is also one of those levels of riya, and this is also condemned. So, لا تستحي من إعطاء القليل. Imam Ali alayhi salam has said in Nahl al-Balagha that don't have haya towards and shun towards giving less. فَإِنَّ الْحِرْمَانَ أَقَلْ مِنْهُ, because not giving is further less than that. So not giving is even further less. So don't be shy. You are giving for the sake of Allah, not what the people would say is less or more. You know, the fourth condemned haya is قَوْلُ الْحَقِّ, saying the haq and truth. If you are supposed to say the haq and truth, not everywhere we are supposed to say everything, you know. Like I always say in my speeches that even ghibat is something which is truth. But not every haqiqat is said everywhere in front of every person. You know, the person has really said that thing, but I cannot say it to you because it will be ghibat. That is haqiqat, it's not batil. But not every haqiqat can be told to everybody at all times, in all situations. Ghibat is always haqiqat. If you were telling something wrong, it will be tohmat. That is worse than ghibat. So let's be clear that, you know, we are talking about when Islam is asking us to express the haqq. So qawl of haqq, saying the haqq is something which is important, and hiding the haqq when Islam is asking us not to hide it, this is where the negative haya comes in and which is condemned. Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, man istahya min qawl al-haqq fa huwa ahmaq. Whosoever has haya and sharm towards saying the haqq is ahmaq and silly. And the Holy Prophet has said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in his hadith that as-sakitu anil haqq shaytanun akhras. Someone who stays silent from saying the haqq, he is the dumb shaytan. You know, so that the iblis that we talk about, that he is not dumb, he can speak, but this guy is a dumb shaytan. So we cannot stay sakit from the haqq when Islam is asking us to say it. The fifth condemned haya is in the case of ikram al-dhaif, respecting your guest and standing up for your father in his respect, and standing up for your muallim, your teacher who teaches you the knowledge of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. So standing up for your father and standing up for your muallim and respecting ikram al-dhaif, respecting the guest. In these three things, you should not have haya. If anybody has haya and sharm in these matters, this is condemned by Ahlul Bayt. So we have another hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, where he has said, Salasun la yustahya minhunna. Three things will have no haya, should have no haya about that. Khidmatul rajil dhaifahu. A man serving his guest. When the guest used to arrive in the house of the Holy Prophet, he himself used to serve things to his guest. And when some people used to stop him and ask, you, Ya Rasulullah, you know, it's you know, let me handle it. Prophet didn't used to allow the person, you know, inna qawma la nastakhdimu adhyafana. That's the Mazmoon al-Riwayah, that we are those people who never take service from our guests. And that the same was the seerah narrated about the Ahlul Bayt, when people used to come to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, to Imam Rida alayhi salam, and Imam Rida himself used to serve to the people with his own hand. And when people tried to help him out in that occasion in his house, Imam used to stop them. So, ikram al-dhaif, there is no haya in serving your guests. And there's no, it doesn't matter that your guest is a Muslim or a kafir or whosoever, you know, salasun lam yaj'alillahu fihinna rukhsatan. How Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said that three things Allah did not provide any leave, any rukhsat, any permission for a person. And one of those three things is that, about doing the ikram and respecting and honoring your guest. Walau kana kafiran, even though your guest is a kafir. Yeah, first of all, we don't invite a kafir al-harbi, a kafir al-harbi to be our guest. We don't. We are talking about those of the kafir who are not harbis. We in Islam, Islam is not asking you to invite a kafir al-harbi in your house, an enemy of Ahlul Bayt in your house. That doesn't make sense at all. We are talking about, if a kafir who is a zimmi, but he's a kafir, comes to your house, that's fine. That's okay. That was my explanation. That's not part of the hadith. The hadith didn't mention that. And so the first is the ikram al-dhaif. Salasun la yustahya minhunna khidmatu rajale dhaifahu wa qiyamuhu an majlisihi li abihi. If you are sitting in a gathering and your father comes in, you have to stand up. If you feel shy and hesitant in standing up for your father, this is what is condemned in Islam. This sharm and haya is mazmoom in the eyes of Ahlul Bayt. You have to stand for your father. There is no sharm in that. If you have sharm in respecting your father, then basically this is not part asar of Iman. This is not the asar of Iman. This has to be, this is mazmoom in the eyes of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Wa mu'allimihi, that means wa talab al-haqq wa in qalla. So, respecting your mu'allim, someone who teaches you the ilm and ulum of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, if that person comes in, you have to stand for him. If you feel haya and sharm in standing for such a person, this is basically condemned in the eyes of Islam. So, at the end, I would like to just mention this one point where we find that Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam has said, أَوَّلُ مَا يَنْزَعُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْعَبْدِ الْحَيَاءِ. Please pay attention. And I'm ending my speech here. The first thing that Allah takes away from a person is his haya. That means if we do sins and we don't do the tawbah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending warnings and warnings and tambih and tambih and warnings, I don't heed to none of the warnings. I don't respond positively to any of the ayat of Quran, any of the ahadith of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. I don't care about any of the ayat and warnings. I keep on doing the same, one after the other, one after the other, one after the other, ignoring all the warnings of Allah and Ahlul Bayt. So when a time arrives that Allah now starts punishing. Now what is the punishment of Allah? Here is the punishment. The first thing that Allah will snatch away from you is your haya. أَوَّلُ مَا يَنْزَعُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْعَبْدِ. The first thing that Allah takes away from a person is his haya. Now what happens when haya is taken away? What happens is that the hadith says that, the hadith says, مَنْ لَا حَيَاءَ مَنْ كَثُرَ خَطَاؤُهُ كَثُرَ قَلَّ حَيَاؤُهُ. Whosoever has a lot of sins, a lot of faults, his haya gets down and down and down and down and down. The more the sins are increasing, the haya is going down and down and down. Unless we do the tawbah. If we do the tawbah, that's okay. But if we don't, the more we do the sins, the haya gets down further, further down. وَمَنْ قَلَّ حَيَاءُهُ قَلَّ وَرَاءُهُ. And when your haya becomes less, your wara, abstinence from the sins, is further less, you further has lesser and lesser control towards the sins. وَمَنْ قَلَّ وَرَاءُهُ مَاتَ قَلْبُهُ. What's the end result when your wara, the nur of wara, the nur of abstinence from the sins is gone from your qalb? The qalb, the spirituality of a person dies. وَمَنْ مَاتَ قَلْبُهُ دَخَلَ النَّارِ. As soon as the qalb and spirituality of a person dies away, he enters the fire. I have already mentioned to you that we believe that heaven and hell exist right now. So we enter the fire right now in our lifetime. Not on the day of judgment only, after official announcements and hisab. Right now a person enters the hellfire in this world. Or right now he is in the heavens. And some people are in A'raf, which are very few. So, أَوَّلُ مَا يَنْزَعُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْعَبْدِ الْحَيَاء. The first thing that Allah takes away from the person is haya. ثُمَّ الْأَمَانَةِ. After that, amanat. So he doesn't have amanat dari, taking care of the entrusted trusts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is another whole concept. I will come to that maybe next Thursday or later on. So, which is also, amanat is also part of the makarim al-akhlaq. We will discuss that. So the second thing which will be taken after haya is amanat. ثُمَّ الدِّينِ. Then your entire religion will be gone. فَيَسِيرُ. Then Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says, فَيَسِيرُ شَيْطَانًا لَعِينًا. This kind of person converts into a cursed and mal'oon shaitan. He becomes mal'oon by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he himself now is a shaitan. Shaitan is not one. Shaitan is ismul jinn. It includes everybody who is satanic in his nature. Iblis is one of the misdaq of shayateen. He is not the only one. He is the head of all, of course. That's why he will be in the bottom of the hellfire and the root of all the evil. But he is not the only one. He has lots of children and followers. Shayateen al-Insa wal-Jinn. So anybody who has lost his haya, and then he would lose his amanat, then he would lose his entire religion, and he would become cursed by Allah and end up becoming shaitan. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. If you have any question about the speech, we have, I think, 3 or 4 minutes remaining, approximately 3-4 minutes remaining. Yes, please. Yeah, what constitutes the haya is actually our obedience to and ita'at towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, because as long as we keep on abstaining from the harams and keep on feeling the fear of Allah, which will cause us to do his ita'at, as long as we keep on doing the ita'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our haya will never be hurt, never be damaged. It starts receiving the damage when a person, instead of doing the ita'at, he starts doing the sin. That's where the balance shifts. So what protects the haya is our ita'at towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, haya is the noor which is found in the qalb of a human that causes him to always keep away al-inqibaz, malakatul inqibaz, malakatul inqibaz in nafs anil qabih aqlan wa shar'an. The malakatul nafsaniya, which is found, the spiritual charisma, which is in the form of a noor always, found in the soul of a person that constantly causes you to have control of your own self whenever you encounter any qabih thing which is considered to be qabih in the eyes of the Sharia or in the eyes of the aql, human intellect. So whenever you encounter a qabih thing intellectually or shar'an qabih, you have the noor and power in your qalb to exercise immediate control on your nafs, not to go for the qabih. If you have that nuraniyat, then that's what haya is all about. If your father comes in, or your muallim, a person whosoever from whom you are learning the knowledge of Quran and Ahl Bayt, comes in, of course, we would stand in the respect of that. We will stand in the respect of them. Yeah, Quran requires us to pay attention, to the contents of the Holy Quran. So we will, of course, always pay attention to that, but respecting, is compulsory to be done. Also, you know, it has to be done. So we would stand up. The answer is that, yeah, we would stand up for the father or the muallim.
Well, it depends on the situation. I mean, the rest of the people can stand up, yes.
The person who is reading Quran on the podium somewhere, standing far away, you know, it depends on the urf. What is the situation? It can vary from
scenario to scenario, but you know, the bottom line is that we need to respect. So the rest of the people, at least who are and directly not reading the Quran, they should stand up. If the person who is sitting in a situation where he cannot stand up, you know, then he can continue reading it because he could not in his situation. But other people who can stand up, they should stand up. Okay, and let's read the dua. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wa al-Muslimin. Waqbul al-Kuffara wa al-Munafiqeen. Allahumma ansur man nasar al-Din. Waqbul man khazal al-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur wa ahfaz wa ayyid ulama'ana al-Rabbaniyin. Wa maraja'ana al-Rabbaniyin. Sayyim al-Wali al-Faqih qa'id al-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur juyush al-Muslimin wa asakir al-Muwahideen. Allahumma fukk an al-asara al-Muslimin. Allahumma waffiqna lima tuhibbu wa tarza. Wa ajjil fi farj maulana sahib al-Zaman. Waj'alna min ansarihi wa ashya'ihi wa asba'ihi wa a'wanih. Bijahe Muhammadin wa alihi al-Tahirin.